come close to an even appropriate estimation of the incarnation by the working of God's grace in our hearts. This event, this person, the Lord Jesus Christ, has always elicited polarizing responses. We've seen that all throughout history. We've seen that in the Gospels. We see that in the book of Acts and in other places in the New Testament. And we have seen that through the ages. There are polarizing responses to the Lord Jesus Christ. So while we may struggle to appropriately estimate the greatness of Christ and his entrance into our world, every single one of us must decide, is this Christ truly the Son of God that has come into the world to save people from sin? Is this Christ truly the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way to get to the Father, the only way to get to heaven, the only hope for salvation? So tonight we're going to read chapter 2, and then we're going to briefly observe two very different responses to the birth of Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 2. King Herod and the Magi gave very different responses to the Lord. So let's begin in chapter 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men, or magi, from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. And then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. And then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. And he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for this opportunity to gather together and celebrate the birth of Christ. Lord, allow us to see the truth of the gospel tonight. Allow it to be clear. Be glorified. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's first together look at the response of Herod. Who was Herod the king? Well, Herod the king was called Herod the Great. The Roman Senate appointed him to be king of Judea in 40 BC. And within 3 years of his rule in Judea, he had crushed all opposition to his kingship, of course, with the help of Rome. He was actually a very gifted leader and a savvy politician. He had a great building project. He rebuilt the temple. He was known for his famine relief efforts. And he was crafty enough to stay in the good graces of Rome so that he could continue to rule in Judea. But Herod loved power. Herod loved fame and power way too much. And he hated the fact that many Jews considered him a tyrant. He clinged so fastly to his kingdom that he began to be plagued with paranoia, to the point that he constantly imagined coups against him to overthrow his kingdom. This paranoia and obsession with control and power led him to murder his wife and at least two of his sons because he imagined that they were trying to overtake him. He did not want to share his glory or his authority with anyone. He wanted absolute control. When Herod heard that there was a baby who had been born king of the Jews, he was greatly troubled. This is a rival king in his mind. He was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem was troubled with him. Now, Jerusalem was not troubled because they were worried about losing Herod. They were greatly troubled because they were worried about his wrath and his what he might do to this rival king. It may affect everyone in the city. Now, it's ironic that Herod the king of Judea, did not know the scriptures. He had to summon other Jewish leaders and assemble them together to teach him and show him where the Christ was to be born. Herod lies. We see him lie. He tries to deceive the wise men so that they will report back to him where the child is. He deceives them. Herod is not interested in worshiping the King of Kings. He wants to kill and destroy this baby, Jesus. Luckily, by God's sovereignty, the Magi were warned in a dream not to report back to Herod. And Joseph was told to depart from Bethlehem to Egypt to avoid Herod's wrath. And Herod the king was so furious that he had been deceived by the wise men and that this child king had slipped through his fingers that he orders all the male children in Bethlehem to be murdered from 2 years old or younger. He was a brutal, brutal king. He was a self-centered unbeliever who wanted nothing more than to be his own God, to be his own king, and to have his own kingdom. His unbelief led him to ruthless murder, depression, paranoia, and hate. Herod died alone and unloved. He was worried that no one would mourn him after his death, and he was right. He died of some sort of excruciatingly painful disease in his gut. Some would say it's kidney disease or some kind of cancer somewhere in his gut. It was evidently very, very painful. And in the end, he had no friends, no one to mourn him, no rule, no power, no kingdom. It was not a good end for Herod the Great. So look at the response of the Magi. Well, who were these magi, these wise men. They were called wise men from the east. Most people assume that they were probably from the area of Assyria. We don't know for sure, but they were certainly have been thoroughly pagan. They were not Jewish. They were not believers. They did not know this God. But these men, they would have been into astrology, which is the pagan practice of reading the stars. They would have been wise men considered in their areas. But somehow these particular magi must have had access to the Jewish scriptures. They searched the scriptures and they knew them better than the man who was the king in Judea. They knew something about this king of the Jews, the Lord, the Messiah. They knew that he would be born. Now, we don't know what all they knew. We don't know the extent of their knowledge. We don't know if they knew that this baby born in a manger in Bethlehem would be God in the flesh. We don't know with 100% certainty that these men had placed their faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. We don't know what knowledge they had. And unfortunately, we don't know what happened in the months and years after they met the Lord Jesus Christ. But what we do observe from Matthew 2 is that these men were willing to travel far and wide to meet the King of Kings. We know that they had a better understanding of the Old Testament scriptures than even the King of Judea. They searched the scriptures and they were excited to meet this child. When the star was over the place where the child was, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And when they entered the house and saw Jesus, the scripture says they bowed down and worshiped him. And they brought him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The Magi provide a stark contrast to King Herod. They lived in a pagan land, had pagan practices, but they were drawn to Christ. And they bowed down and worshiped Christ, the King of the Jews. We can only assume and hope that they experienced a genuine conversion and abandoned their pagan practices and followed Christ. They certainly seem to respond to him with faith. So that's the response of King Herod and the response of the Magi. Well, what about the response of you and the world, of everyone? Everyone that's ever been has to make a decision what they're going to do about this baby in a manger. Are they going to believe in this Christ, or are they going to reject him? All of us fit into one of these two categories. There's no middle ground. There's no neutral ground. There's either those who believe and those who don't believe. Unbelief never remains neutral. It grows and it breeds greater unbelief, and it gets more and more aggressively hostile. And unbelief gives way to hate and anger at God. Unbelief, like Herod's unbelief, leaves the unbeliever doing everything possible to maintain control of their own kingdom. And having a willingness to overcome all opposition that rivals their own perceived self-autonomy. They want control. We see the final outcome of unbelief in the book of Revelation when unbelievers hate God and they cast curses at God and refuse to repent and believe. That is the end of all unbelief. It never remains neutral. So you can respond in unbelief, or you can respond with faith. You can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the God-man who entered our world 2,000 years ago on a rescue mission to redeem lost sinners. You can believe that you are, in fact, a sinner that has sinned against God and fallen short of God's glory. And you can place your faith and trust in Christ alone and his sacrifice on the cross as an atoning sacrifice for sin. He took our place on the cross and paid the price that we deserve, paid the penalty that we deserve to pay for our sin. He took the punishment that we deserve, and he gives to those who believe his righteousness as a gift. It's not based on works. It's not based on how good a person is or how bad a person is. It's based upon whether or not a person puts their faith and trust in Christ alone for salvation. You can believe that. You can receive Christ as your Lord. You can turn and believe. You can call out to him in faith, and he will hear you. You can be forgiven of sin and reconciled to your Creator. And the end goal of that type of saving faith is worship. This is what we see with the Magi. They traveled far and they traveled wide, and they ended their journey worshiping the baby who was called Jesus. They bowed down and worshiped him. I think that's much more than just a measure of respect and homage to a king. I believe that there was something about him they knew that he was worthy of their worship. We also see this final outcome of believers in the book of Revelation. The end goal of all believers and all of our faith is an eternity of worship of the one true God. We will sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." So I ask you today, what is your estimation of Christ? What is your reception for this King? We have to make a decision. Do we want to cling to our own perceived kingdom and self-autonomy at all cost, or do we want to bow the knee to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Place our faith and trust in him who gave up his life as a sacrifice. My prayer for us tonight is that we will not continue to underestimate this Christ who was born. Not continue to just go through the hoops of tradition that we always do in this wonderful time of year, but that we will really consider this Christ who entered into our world to save us from sin. Nothing could possibly be more amazing than God becoming man to give up his life on Calvary's cross for me, and not for the good of me, but for all of my bad, all of my sin. It's a beautiful, beautiful story. It's the greatest story ever told. And my prayer for you today is that you will understand how greatly significant this story is, and that you will give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, for he alone is worthy. Let's pray together in conclusion. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your kindness. We thank you for this amazing story that we have in the Scriptures, of Christ coming, being born in such a humble and meek way. There was nothing visually about him that would make us know how great and magnificent he truly is. He became one of us. And yet we know, as the Scripture tells us, that he was God in the flesh. You came, Lord, to save us. Father, I pray for everyone in this room. I pray that believers in this room will be strengthened in their faith. And I pray for those who are confused about this, or those who are not quite sure, or are maybe even actively opposed to this gospel message. Lord, I pray that you will stir their hearts to see its truth, that you will allow them to see the beauty of the gospel and the greatness of knowing you. Lord, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.